This is the time of year when I like to get out into my yard with a bag of lawn seed. You've probably seen one of these things before. This is pretty dirty, gross, but it is well used. This lawn seeder thing is supposed to help me scatter the grass seed evenly over my lawn, but I'm not really sure that it worked so well. I definitely ended up seeding my driveway. And you know, I've been pulling actually a lot of grass seed out of my flower beds this year, too. Have you ever noticed how nice and strong grass grows when it's growing in your flower beds? Yeah, I just wish it would grow like that in my actual lawn. Well, our scripture this morning is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, the parable of the sower. And Jesus tells a story about a farmer who goes out to plant his crops by scattering seed randomly across the ground. Some of the seed gets eaten right away by the birds. Some of the seed falls in areas where it can't grow, on rocky, hard ground. And other seed lands in good areas, but the weeds end up growing faster and they choke it out. But some of the seed falls into nice, fertile soil where it's able to grow up nice and strong and produce a good harvest. Now, Jesus knows that most of his listeners are farmers. So this image of going out to sow a crop was something that they had probably all done before themselves. But Jesus also knows that not everyone is going to understand the deeper message that's behind his words. So later on, in a quiet moment, the disciples approach Jesus and they ask him to just explain and clarify what he meant by this teaching. Jesus explains the seed represents the word, God's message of good news for the people. Some of God's message is taken away. Some of it's destroyed by people's problems and the hard things that they experience in their lives. And some of it gets choked out by other priorities that just pop up. But some of God's message falls into the hearts of people who are ready to accept it and to receive it and run with it, and it's more than enough to fulfill the purposes that God has for it. I think it's fascinating that not all of the seed grows enough to produce a crop. A lot of it basically just ends up going to waste. That's actually quite countercultural to our society's values of efficiency and productivity. Our workplaces are all about eliminating waste. Whenever I speak with some of my farmer friends, I'm amazed by how efficient the technology has become for that. You guys probably know this a lot better than I do. The placement of every single seed is so carefully calibrated by GPS satellites to be just the right distance away from every other seed. And then it's coded in the precise measurement of fertilizers and pesticides that's adjusted according to the pests that are prevalent in each region. And if farmers develop some problems later on with pests or birds or weeds or other things like that, they can contact their local agronomist for advice. So farming today is far different than it was for the Galilean man scattering his seeds into the wind. We try to measure and account for every variable. And I don't think that's a bad thing. After all, we have a few billion more mouths to feed than they did back then. But perhaps that cultural difference makes it harder for us today, even here in a farming town, to really connect with the life of a Galilean farmer. Because it's not very often that we go out onto the land to just scatter seeds to fall randomly where they will. We aim to control all of the variables. Makes me wonder, how much does God control all of the variables? Might there ever be times when God invites us to let go a little bit and to trust? What might that look like? Well, last week I was up in Kitchener for a few days. I attended a workshop called Leading the Church Through Transformation, Change, and Renewal. There are about 20 other pastors and church leaders in the room, and all of us were engaging together around the question of how do we lead the church in a time of great anxiety and change in our culture. While I was there, I heard a story that really struck me, and I wanted to share it with you. It was about a small church in a small town that was struggling to survive, and this is a true story. The town had very few youth and young adults. Most of the kids had grown up and gone away to university and had not come back. And so eventually the town began to market itself as a retirement community. The town now had a growing population of seniors who were moving in from the city to retire. The church was struggling, though, to adapt to this new reality. And so they hired a vibrant young pastor who was passionate about bringing new life back into their children and young adults ministry. Except that the church didn't actually have any children. In fact, the community around them barely had any children. And so as the dying church began meeting together and praying, really praying and seeking God about their ministry, they began to realize something. And they started to ask, what if God isn't calling us to minister to children and young families? What if God is calling us to minister to senior citizens instead? The church began to realize that they already had all of the gifts and the skills and even the volunteers that they needed for their seniors to begin reaching out to other seniors in their town. And so they started doing that. The next year, the church celebrated 5 new baptisms, and all of the people who were baptized were over 60 years old. God had to help them to let go of their preconceived ideas about what a successful church looked like in order to help them to actually become a faithful church. Now, just to be clear, I am not trying to promote some sort of agenda here of let's get rid of our children's ministry. I actually think our children's ministry is awesome and very important and good. But I'm just trying to ask the question, what are the things that we hold on to so tightly in our own lives and in our church community that perhaps we might need to release in order to give life to something else? I heard another story a few weeks ago, a very different story, about a large mega church in the U.S. You may have heard of it. It's called Willow Creek. Now, this church and its pastor literally wrote the book on the church growth movement. Willow Creek began a movement called the Seeker-Sensitive Church, and this was all about the idea that it's really important for churches to reach out to their community by being as relevant and contemporary as possible. And so Willow Creek became famous for having things like comfortable movie theater style seating right in their sanctuary, or for having amazing musical performances during their worship service. And they had a plethora of all sorts of different programs that were designed for people at every different stage of life to plug into. And this church had thousands and thousands of people attending. Their lead pastor, Bill Hybels, wrote books that people like me bought on how to help your church grow. Now, a few weeks ago, it was in the news that Bill Hybel resigned after multiple allegations of sexual misconduct became public, spanning over several decades. And a short time later, the rest of Willow Creek's church board also resigned, issuing an apology and acknowledging that they had acted for many years to cover up the allegations that were made against their pastor. This is the church that literally wrote the book on the church growth movement. Two very different churches with two very different stories. One church that covered up the truth in order to maintain and protect its perfect image. And one church that looked at the difficult truth about itself squarely in the eyes and decided to face that head on. One of these churches tried to control all the variables. The other church made a choice to let go of perfect control, to release some of their expectations, and to trust God to be at work, even when that might look different than what they had initially thought. I wonder, in what ways do we as a church still try to maintain and control our image? And in what ways do we as a church allow ourselves to trust God to do new things, even things that might be different from our expectations? And in what ways do all of us do both of these things in our own lives? We see in Jesus' story, the parable of the sower, that sometimes it's just not possible to control all the variables. The seed falls where it will, and the wind blows it. But God's good news is that it's okay. We don't have to. We don't have to control everything perfectly. The end result is not up to us. We scatter the seeds, but only God can actually make it grow. The harvest is in God's hands, not ours. God doesn't call us to success. God calls us to faithfulness. Let's pray together. God, we acknowledge and confess that so often we're tempted to maintain our control when what you're actually calling us to do is to let go and to trust you. Sometimes it's really hard for us to do that. It's scary to let go. The world we live in teaches us that we always need to present the perfect image. But you teach us that we are already beautiful and perfect, just the way we are, just the way that you made us. Help us to actually believe that. Let it sink deeply into our bones that we are your wonderful, beloved children, just as we are. Help us to embrace that truth, God, and to know it so thoroughly that we have the courage to live in this unpredictable world with steady faithfulness. In your name we pray. Amen.
Let us respond to the message by singing Seeds Scattered and Sown, number 454 in your hymnal worship books.